Okay, kids, this is a special segment. Grab your headset. I thought it was important to me. So please bear with me. Listening to another theorist critique of liberalism, and I'm thinking about the reflexivity that we discussed in the last episode. By the way, shout out to Fletcher and Carolyn. It was a great, had a lot of fun yesterday. So, the question is law a meme? Can it talk about itself as a meme? Can it become self-aware of itself as a meme, as a self-replicating idea that is fighting for power and control? Right? Can we make laws about the law mutating? I guess, yes. Law includes a way to change itself. Governmental bodies. Rules for secession. It doesn't have really rules for revolution, let's say. The Constitution may have that. So I guess in that respect, the law does have some self-reflection in that respect. It doesn't call itself a self-replicating entity, but it says that it will meet. And it's funny how the systems that America has produced in other countries are not the same. In Germany and Kosovo and so forth. But of course, it's not just America producing them. Those countries producing their own and their more modern versions of government. The guy was saying about Hobbes, how natural freedom is the ultimate freedom, and then they choose that your power is ephemeral as a solo person, and how people choose a sovereign to protect their life and maybe their property rights. That was Hobbes. I thought that was an interesting way of putting things. Kind of like, on the meme level, the fight between the memes can be completely free, except they choose some constants to preserve be more stable, so they will only change within certain parameters. Wow, I just figured out this new road that they built here can get me to the shopping. That's neat. Okay, well, I was just thinking about that. I guess this thought is not complete, but I was just trying to put together this idea of the memes or ideas. Idea of freedom, of ideas, and how that applies to the idea of freedom of man, where we actually have ideas of freedom of man. We simulate ideas we're simulating, we're thinking about, we're conjecturing about how best a society would be run. And of course, these conjectures, these philosophies are also just simulations of reality concepts, because reality is always much more messy. Write these ideas down and they become a meme. So Hobbes becomes a meme of his own, or his ideas become a meme of their own. How's that sound? So we're talking about the history of the evolution of memes, as in human rights, as a self-reflexive meme. I think we're getting slowly to what this self-reflexivity. Talking about itself, thinking about itself. If we add a semiotic level to it, and a thought level to it, the idea of thoughts thinking about themselves, a thought referencing itself, a word referencing itself, or a sentence referencing its own sentence, or its circular different types of that going on. But a meme, as in an idea that's replicating, it's copying itself from one mind to another, it's embodying itself into a form, being encoded and decoded, yet surviving, and includes the motivation. And this is what he's saying, that Hobbes said that emotion or feeling was the ultimate motivator. It was the the way, the primary motivation. I would say life and survival would be the primary motivation that we've seen in the brain, that the brain has we've seen the inside-out brain, that we're born with a survival instinct. So I would say that we could theorize that life, that law, is just an extension of that survival instinct. And we think that we're discovering it, but maybe it's been there all the time. And it's just talking, it's just expressing itself. So the self-expression, maybe, of the inborn survival instinct. How's that sound? How's that for an idea? Okay. So let's think about that some more, and I will talk to you later.
And welcome to the next edition of the Stream of Random, episode 220. Today, we have the all-knowing, all-seeing Chicken Jar.
Yay, I'm here. Well, I'm not, metaphorically speaking, I'm here, but I'm not literally here.
You're not here, or you're not there?
To the listeners, I'm there. I mean, I'm here, where I'm standing, but I'm not literally here, like, where... You know, not literally there with you. Yeah.
There, but you're here.
Yeah, but I'm here. Yeah.
Well, now that we got those semantics, and Chicken Jar is Jarrah's going to serenade us with the sound of music, as always.
You like my pitch?
He's actually a dishwasher. But luckily, he gets to share a little bit of his time with us. So we take what we can get, you know?
Well, wash dishes for them. For La Familia.
La Familia. Well, that's good.
For myself.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because I guess it's an extension of myself, huh?
Well, yeah.
Whoa. Never thought of it that way.
Yourself is defined. Yourself is very, very small.
Yeah.
I'm a nobody!
I have to, It's not that you're nobody, you're just insignificant.
Yeah, I'm part of a legion. Let's just say that. Sounds cooler, huh?
Well, it's nice to be part of something big, but I think that we should also recognize, how literally small we are. Because it really can empower you.
Yeah, cosmically speaking, we're really tiny. Literally. Great.
So I found someone who is quoting Zizek and Hegel.
I'm obsessed with these two phrases now.
Which ones?
Literally and metaphorically. That was my whole... Well, it's basically saying... Literally. Quoting who?
Zizek.
Whoa, who's that?
His name is Matthew.
Do I know that person?
His name is Matthew McManus. He's literally an asshole.
Whoa, what? His name is
McManus. Or Mick. Make my anus.
I thought it was make my...
Yeah, make my anus.
So, what?
This asshole is quoting...
Make it what?
He's literally quoting Zizek.
Which one of his quotes?
Well, I'm just trying to read into him, but... definitely talking about him. I have a podcast that I listened to today.
Mm-hmm.
He's a left.
Oh, yeah. Those are my favorite people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The best people in the world. That's what they say. They say they're smart, so they should be smart, huh?
Well, I was listening to him. I've been definitely working on understanding.
So, did you come to understand anything new? Any epiphanies?
Well, I can give you some things that he talked about today. System of power. Let's call it the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
Is only the way it is because of people history. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's an argument.
Right? So, if we be the way we are right now, if it wasn't for happened in the past.
Yeah, it's a pretty moral relativistic viewpoint, I guess.
And therefore, we have to basically destroy the world as it is and rebuild it in a more progressive, enlightened.
Yeah, so you want to, like, go Ragnarok on the world and just start over.
We could start by putting all the conservatives in jail, for example.
Yeah, great decision.
Shutting off their Twitter accounts. And maybe executing.
Isn't that great?
I think Stalin would be very proud.
Yeah, I think so too. I think his grave is moving right now with delight.
He's rolling in his grave, you think?
No, no, it's basically moving with delight. He's jumping in there. His corpse is literally jumping from joy. Oh, the joy. Oh, dude, I know a guy on the right side who's who also wrote a book on why Jordan Peterson is wrong.
Yeah.
And it's called The Jordanetics.
Oh.
And then whenever I talk to people who follow that, they're always like, Jordanetics, you should read The Jordanetics, learn why he's wrong. So I guess the far left, they just quote this guy. They're like, look, dude, he wrote a book on why the guy's wrong. Therefore, he's wrong.
And I'm working on understanding him. Now, what I've been working on, I think is interesting, is this whole idea what is inside of law and what is outside of law.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you look at, let's just say, people who live in countries in Eastern Europe, you'll see a lot of, lawlessness. People just doing what they want, not really following the law.
Yeah, but there's also, like, I feel like there's a lower enforcement level.
Yes. There's a lower enforcement level, that's right.
Less control, perhaps.
Well, he's trying to say that the natural state of people is to be surviving. I'm struggling with this. I'm still working on this stuff, so I don't have it all worked out yet. But basically,
maybe you're struggling because it's nonsense, but I don't know.
Maybe nonsense, but
it might not be.
But his argument, this is the other guy. This is not McManus. But this was the other one, the German guy. I did 2 episodes on him recently, just before. So.
Oh, he's also far left, or.
Yeah. Revolution, was really out of control. He had power and privilege, and they didn't give rights to everybody, only to the people who owned land, only to the people who were successful. They weren't really progressive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of one of the arguments. Right?
Yeah, I've heard this argument many, many times,
oh, yeah.
I guess. Even at school.
Oh, yeah?
Well, that's what they used to preach.
See, I don't know.
Well, basically, people who founded the states were just conquerors, and they were, you know, trying to get their land for their own and money for their own and shit like that. Never talked about, you know, the freedoms and everything. It was mostly like this kind of stuff. But I feel like
they did talk about freedoms.
Yeah, but they only gave the freedoms to certain groups of people, right? But I feel like back then it wasn't as homogenous. Like the groupings of people wasn't like as it is nowadays. There weren't really like fixed identities like you have them nowadays. You know, like there was no general white people, or you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know what you mean.
Back in the day in the States, there were like, you know, Italians.
Oh, I see.
Are different, but the Irish are like the N-words.
Well, look, I think I can make it easier to explain, right? It was an English colony. They were English men. They were English aristocrats.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
Yep.
And then they decided they wanted to get rid of the king because they didn't, you know, because the king was being a dick.
Yep, they're like, we don't need this old fatso. We can become old fatsos ourselves.
Exactly. Boy, this guy here wrote a lot of stuff.
Wrote a lot of stuff on
what Nietzsche has to teach us. He just writes a lot. He's a professor of cultural Marxism.
Oh. At what school?
McDamus. He's teaching at Whitman College. Downloading all of his
papers. I see. So that's probably why he gets to talk about this stuff so much. Because he's actually teaching it.
Yeah. But I'm learning this right now because I think we have to understand why these guys want to destroy America so badly.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like there's no like nothing comes out of not understanding why, you know, like you want to know what their motivations are, because like usually road to hell is paved in good intentions.
I want to understand,
you know,
their arguments. So the guy, Ocasio-Cortez, was arguing that there will be no, that she wants to have the liberation of the South. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a clip from her, actually. I was just listening to that today. Let me see if I can get that clip.
Play it up.
Play it up. And it was actually, I was listening to Charlie Kirk, who was a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And he's quite good. But the conservatives are also very much, they're also very much religious. A lot of it's Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that. For sure.
And they say that the Constitution of America was built around the idea of religion. That if you don't believe in God, I think one of the founding fathers says if you don't believe in God, then the Constitution won't work.
Hmm.
They say the only thing that we believe in is the law, and that there is no other thing that we can agree on. There is no shared value system, there's no shared belief system, or the complete opposition to each other, and we interpret the law differently.
I see.
So they're busy really redefining all the terms.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it's basically like just trying to redefine stuff.
They're basically redefining stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of what Jordan was saying about this stuff. He was saying like, hey, look, postmodernists are just trying to redefine things. But in reality, you know, things are as they are. Be it you believe in that stuff or not. You know, it's just concepts in our mind.
Yes.
In the end of the day. Don't really have any value. But the one that we give them, you know. Unless you give them one. So that's it's basically like symbols.
Well, I would say there are symbols that have no value. Right? But there's also symbols mm-hmm. that have value. And it gives them value. Like a picture. Like a picture of a rose, for example. If that has a value. Like, this is the whole question of aesthetics and beauty. And I'm of the opinion that there is such a thing as beauty in the world, and it's independent of it's independent of the of how you what value you give it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like we talked about yesterday, is DMT mushrooms, right? Like
mm-hmm.
They're going to trigger a receptor no matter what.
Yeah, it's going to like actually give meaning to everything.
It's going
to
give meaning.
So it's basically everything has value
so
in reality.
Drugs will give value, but also a rose. Has a value independent of if someone's looking at it or not, I think. Because even the bees love flowers that are beautiful, and that the flowers have evolved to make the bees happy somehow. Right? You there? Houston, it looks like we lost our guest.
Oh, I'm still here, dude. It just, something moved in my pocket.
Yeah. Are you recording out of your pocket again?
Yeah, because I'm using my phone, and I can't be on my laptop right now, so...
Okay.
I'm kneading some dough.
You're kneading dough?
Yep, I'm getting it together, so... I got
dough.
Yep. Dude, I think I got the best dough in the neighborhood.
Alright.
So I just splashed it with butter.
Well,
then...
Here's a title for you. Let's talk about clickbait. Postmodern Trumpism and Loneliness. The Rise of Vulgar Authoritarianism. Like, this is the shit that he writes.
Yay! Time to shrink my amygdala.
Or inflame it. I think this stuff might inflame your amygdala.
Yeah, it's probably inflammation.
But I think that
time.
We're going to work on deconstructing the left. You know how No Agenda is deconstructing the news?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's how you do anything. You just gotta deconstruct it, and then you understand all the parts of it. You're like, hey, look, it's this. This is going on right now.
This guy's quite, I can't believe how much he's writing. He has hundreds and hundreds of documents.
Whoa, there's so much fog, dude. Yeah, I guess. A lot of writing. A lot of fog.
I'm downloading all of his documents, and now it's asking if I'm a human or a robot. Because there's so many, Let me see how many... This guy's got 97 papers. Yeah, he's got 97 papers for us to read.
It's a lot of papers.
I know, it's just crazy. I'm gonna spend the next years just reading all this shit.
Or speed read it. Just like he speed wrote it.
We're on episode
200. Maybe he wrote it on speed.
He probably did. But if we actually have to deconstruct 97 papers, that's going to be like how many hundreds of episodes that we have to do.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of episodes.
I think he's copying and pasting.
Yeah, I think a lot of it should be copying and pasting, or a lot of quoting. Because I know academics just quote a lot of shit, from my experience.
That's good, then we don't have to read all the other papers, we can just read his stuff.
Yeah.
Summary of research. He wrote a paper saying summary of research. We should start with his, like, beginning stuff. Like, some of his oldest stuff.
Like, the first stuff.
Yeah. My undergrad... Here, the paper I presented at Carleton. My undergraduate honors research essay. And you can imagine the system that he grew up in, which produced him. You know? Like, he is...
Mm-hmm.
This guy is the result of...
The system.
He's a result of the system. Like, they pushed him.
Dude, my professor's like that. He's a result of the system. Literally. Like, when I was trying to talk about the stuff that we talk about on the podcast, just discredits everything. I'm like, dude, should read a bit into it. He's like, well, there's no research. I'm like, dude, there is research, actually. But you won't read it. So you're on your high horse.
What if you said you only learn to know?
Yeah. As Jerry. That's what Jerry said.
Yeah, I think I got it now. State as a machine in the context of transcending powers of consciousness. I mean, you gotta think together. State as a machine. Like, you gotta come up with names like that.
You gotta love the names they come up with, huh?
Yeah, okay, so we've got Trump's trade war, vanities, postmodern, Trump in the age of bullshit, the roots. Postmodern Trumpism is loneliness. What are we gonna read first? Let's pick the smallest document. Some of these documents are so small. The problem with identity politics. How's that? Can you read that? Or Trump in the age of
bullshit. All right.
How about Trump in the age of bullshit?
Yeah, that sounds really academic.
And his name is Matt McManus. McManus. Introduction.
I actually heard Jordan Peterson talk about this guy. He mentioned him.
Oh, yeah. He's going after Jordan all the time. Why now?
Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, there's this guy that goes after me. Ha ha ha. You guys should read his stuff.
Well, we're gonna read it. By now, the claim that Donald Trump is a liar might seem like old news. Well-known fact-checker, PolitiFact, ranked 68% of the Trump statements as veering to mostly false, and that's on fire, blatant untruths.
Pants on fire, liar, liar.
This might make it seem like Trump is just any other politician on steroids. It is now broadly accepted that politicians often mislead or lie. Now, he should also now show us political effects. Like, is this more than 60% of his statements are wrong? How is that different to other
politicians, right? Bias alert.
In fact, we're going to say how many, what's the average false statements for Democrats and for Republicans?
Mm-hmm.
We also have to know, like, John C. Dvorak from No Agenda Show, he said, because Trump is from Queens, from the five boroughs, you have to be a bullshitter. The farther you are from Manhattan, the more you exaggerate the bullshit. It's just the nature of the language. Also in New Jersey, you have a bullshitter, because we're far away from Manhattan. Right? So the farther you get away from the city, the more bullshit you have. So he's just...
Yeah.
This is like a natural of where he's coming from.
Yeah, it's just part of the routine.
So you might just want to say that Trump is a voucher in shop. He's just a builder. He's just some guy. He's building shit. Maybe a construction worker, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's how he started. Real estate. That's what
professor
real estate people are.
Yeah, he's not a professor of law and critical theory.
Yeah, he's not eloquent, but he's straight up. So.
It is now broadly accepted point in Bolivar, which would suggest this is just the worst form of business. But I want to suggest this is not the case. Trump is not simply a politician who lies more than the average person in public office. He didn't even show that he lies more than the average person in public office.
Yeah, it just says that the fact checkers say that he does what he does. So it's like, hey, look, these fact checkers say this, therefore it's true. Therefore, it's basically the S. Propter Hawk fallacy, which is this, therefore this. Then this and this and this.
Logical fallacies.
Shit. Busted.
He is someone who has no conception of truth or falsativity whatsoever. What is worse, he has gradually convinced many of his supporters to adopt this dismissive approach to knowledge and truth. So I would say,
I dig the keywords. Knowledge. And truth.
Yeah, this is some good quotes. I'm putting them in my document.
You don't have knowledge, and you don't respect truth.
Yeah, you need a knowledge and truth position, and anyone who's dismissing knowledge and truth will be sent to for re-education.
Yeah, you need some knowledge. We'll upload this knowledge. Oh my god. Come on, McAnus. At least he's not called McRichard. Still reading?
Okay, let's continue. So now he goes into his next section, truth and bullshit. To think what this new age brings, it is helpful to look at the literature on the subject. The classic work on the subject is Professor of Philosophy Harry Frankfurt, his 2005 opus on bullshit. Now we need to figure out what date he wrote this document.
Oh, was it pre or post?
Yeah, I'm gonna put a date on this because this guy might have written a lot, but this seems to be
It's a lot of static, man.
This guy, he wrote a work on bullshit. He argues there's a distinction between being a liar and telling lies and being a bullshit. A liar, such as Nixon, accepts that there's a difference between the truth and a lie. They spend a great time trying to hide their lies. But a bullshitter doesn't care or understand the difference between truth and falsehood.
What?
Let's redefine some more words.
To them, reality is what one makes of it, or worse, what one wants it to be. Listen, can we... I have to talk to someone now. I have to take a break. Let me... I have an emergency happening here. This guy hung up on me anyway.